Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Hawks Radio. We own the night. I'm your host, Coach Epps, along with my co-host,
Coach Coop. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Coach Coop, welcome back. How did you enjoy your week off?
It was rather tasty. I tasted it, it's almost like Thanksgiving, Coach. How can I describe it? It was nice to have a great meal with a great win this past week.
Oh, the Night Hawks won.
Yeah. You were there, weren't you?
Yeah, I was there, Coach. What a great job you did coaching this past week in the Nighthawks. Women, congratulations on the game. So everything is looking up, Coach Coop. You know, the ladies are excited. We go into host town, Washington, D.C. this week.
Yes, we do, Coach. But let's talk about the game on last week. We had an opportunity to play the lost my mind
Jersey
today.
Justice,
the Jersey Justice. I'm looking ahead, Coach. I got DC on the brain right now, you know. But Jersey Justice came down, and let me tell you, a lot of class with that team. Hats off to the coaching staff, and I had an opportunity to talk with the representative at the end, and she complimented the team on how well they played and the sportsmanlike manner that they displayed throughout the game, and that was really welcome, Coach. I really needed to hear or something I already knew, but it was nice to see that other people around the league are recognizing the Nighthawks and the way and their way and style of play. They play hard, but they it's all about sportsmanship, and it was great to see that other people recognize it. And like I said, I believe the representative was, I think her first name was Lisa, if I remember. I don't remember it all, but she was very, very complimentary at the end of the game. And my hat's off to her and her organization, because it took a lot of class for her as well to come over and to make those positive comments.
Yeah. You know, my hat goes off to the Jersey Justice as well. It was a great competitive event last week here. Fortunately, we came out on top, the Nighthawks, 32-6, Coach. It was a great game, and I'm happy to see the young ladies from the Nighthawks finally getting a little bit of that swagger that we practiced with, and trying to demonstrate it on the field, Coach.
Yeah, that's so true. They came back. We had a little break. We came back and started off right, and hey, we're trying to go finish out this season strong. We got three games against three tough opponents. D.C. as well, coming up this Saturday. And then we're going to make that trip to Boston and make that trip to Connecticut. So
we're going to make the trip to Connecticut. Boston comes here, Coach. I know you're looking forward to it. You think we're going to Boston, but we're not going to Boston.
Well, that's why I said that, Coach. I was hoping that the owner would, make a mistake. And we could kind of get there early, and play that game, and we can spend some time in the nice city of Boston.
There's nothing wrong with that, Coach. There's nothing wrong with traveling. We're going to get our chance to travel this week. Boston comes to us next week, and we're going to finish the season finale in Connecticut, Coach.
No question. That's one of the good things about this league and traveling. Now, a lot of the players who are playing for the very first time have an opportunity to get out of the city from where they're from or the local locales that they're from. For us, we have ladies from Virginia, Pennsylvania, here in Maryland, D.C. area. And they get an opportunity, if they've never had an opportunity to travel before, to get the opportunity to go to other cities and other venues. And, it's about business, but it gets them out of the city to experience anything, and it helps them their personal growth.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. it's always fun traveling. That's one of the great things about playing in this league. You get to travel to exciting places and see different things and tackle on new teams. And they always welcome us and roll out the red carpet. And it's a gracious thing to see.
That's very true, Coach, and a lot of teams. I know we played last year up in Manchester, and, even though they lost the game, they were gracious enough to invite us over to their family spread of food over at it was like a Dave and Buster's, and it was really laid out nice, and all players were able to get around and you know, dialogue and you know, talk about the game and talk about whatever was going on. But it was a you know, great opportunity, and that's a plus. You don't see that in the NFL. So that is a plus for the league, as bringing players together in those kind of venues. And I think more and more teams around the league are probably doing it. If not, they probably will be doing it, maybe after hearing our show. But it's great for the camaraderie. It's great for the buildup of the league as well.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. Let's get to this week's topics, Coach. This week's topic for the show tonight will be what happens before, during, and after games in the locker room, Coach.
No question. Are you ready for this?
Coach, I was born ready.
This is one of your favorite times, isn't it, just before the game starts?
Yes, Lord, Coach. Mm.
Well, you know, when you have not weeks of preparation, but when you have those six days of preparation and it's now it's game time, you did all the work, you run through all your plays, you know, you went over your adjustments, you looked at film, you did a number of things to prepare, and now it's game time. And now you're in the locker room, and, you know, you've got all these different personalities, and that's what it is, a great mix of different personalities. And each player deals with it differently, Coach. You know, they prepare themselves in a multitude of ways, and it's rather interesting. And for me, it's kind of enjoyable, not so much that, of course, we go in after they're dressed, Coach, because we can't go in while they're getting dressed, but, you know, because we are male coaches and they're female players.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Coach.
But once they get suited up, and just before you come in and give you a game time speech, it's interesting to see how different players handle, you know, the adrenaline, you know, getting, you know, psyched up for the game. And it's interesting just to walk around through the locker room and just see how players prepare for the game. Some bang their heads up against the wall, some listen to music, some dance, some sit quietly in the corner. And then they're all anxiously awaiting for you to walk through that door.
Hey, you're absolutely correct, Coach. Before we get into that, let's talk about some of the pregame superstitions. I think that would be a very interesting topic. Tell me some of the hilarious or outlandish superstitions you've seen far as before pregame and going into the game.
You talk about, you know, when you see some of these people do some of these things on the field, Coach, you know, you want to back up twice, you know, because you really can't believe what you're seeing. But, you know, when I'm thinking back, you know, I played with a guy one time that he used to bring a bucket of chicken with him. You know, before he used to bring a bucket of chicken, and he would only eat the chicken legs out the bucket.
Mm.
And what he used to tell me was it made him run faster. Now, quite frankly, I thought he was nuts. But when he scored touchdowns, Coach, I was looking for a bucket of chicken, too, for the next game.
I tell you, one of the craziest pre-game rituals I've seen playing sports is one of the guys, and it's kind of like Deion Sanders' pre-game ritual, he had to lay his whole uniform out on the floor like he was actually in it, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, from his socks to his gloves to his cleats to his pants and jersey, wristbands, and then he put the items on one at a time, and he had to start with the right leg first and work all the way around his body to the left leg, Coach. And I mean, and if you took something, I mean, he was really serious about and adamant about fighting you because he had to do it before every game, and it was a ritual that he couldn't break. It got so bad at a certain point, if you took one of his wristbands, he will be highly upset.
Jeez. Well, guess what, Coach? When they put him in that box, he won't have that opportunity to lay his clothes out because it'll be somebody else laying his clothes out for him.
Yeah, well, his clothes will be laid out, Coach. Ain't no doubt about it. His clothes will definitely be laid out.
Yes, but, you know, there's a number of, I mean, crazy, kooky things that people do out there. I mean, I've seen guys, you know, really just kind of bang their heads up against the locker, you know, just trying to get themselves psyched up and ready for the game. It's really just kind of hard because, you know, you never know. There's a switch in everybody that gets them going. You know, you talk about the superstitions. I mean, there are guys that, you know, don't believe in catching a pass before the game. You know, they worked up. They don't want to mess up the rhythm. They don't want to get out there and do those kind of things. You got guys that, you know, want to stay in the locker room. You got guys that, you know, won't talk to people. I mean, there's a number of things that People do, and you can't knock them. But I mean, you will knock them if it doesn't work. If they get out there and play like crap, and you need to tell them, you need to find another way of dealing with this, whatever your superstitions are, because obviously what you're not working. But these are things that have been honed in for years. I mean, ever since from Pop Warner, high school, college, you name it, and they just carry it over into the professional levels.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. Let's get into the pregame speeches, Coach. You set it up pretty elegantly. Right before the game comes in, everybody goes through their particular rituals, and then the head football coach comes in, Coach, and I guess the head football coach would be me.
That's you.
So I come through the door, Coach, and I get ready, and I try to give a speech that's inspiring to motivate the players to go out on the field and execute with a lot of determination, Coach. And I guess you're wondering how I come up with these pregame speeches, huh? Is this why you picked this particular topic tonight, so you can get some insight on how I come up with the pregame speeches so you can try to get my job, Coach? Is this how you came up with the topic?
Well, quite frankly, after I heard a couple of your speeches, I was looking for a uniform, Coach. I was going to I was gonna try to blend in with the crowd so I can go out and hit somebody.
Yeah, I know that, but, right, Coach.
But the speeches that you give, I mean, they're very timely. That's what I can say about, your speeches, the speeches that you give. And I've been around a lot of coaches, and generally for the most part, all of their speeches are generally timing, based on timing and what's actually taking place. They're able to capture the moment, whether it's looking in the player's eyes, looking at the, sensing, getting a sense of how the team is responding to, being in a city that they're unfamiliar with, or being – coming back off a loss or coming back off a win. You and other coaches as well have that knack of, finding what it is, that puts that key in ignition and gets them turned up. So I've always been interested in, those pregame speeches. And, you go back to the old great ones with, like, Newt Rockne and some of that, and, you got the motivator,
Bear Bryant.
I mean, a number of them, but I think it's the timing of those great historic speeches that make them what they are.
I totally agree with it, Coach, and I'm gonna give you the secret to how I prepare for my pregame speeches, Coach. And one of the things you said, it's about capturing the moment, and how you capture the moment is simply you dig deep down inside yourself, Coach, and you look for the things that motivate you. And if you can inspire yourself, Coach, you can definitely, I think, inspire other people, because it's come from a purity and a place where it's honest, it's from the heart, and it's heartfelt. And that's what you try to capture when you're giving that pregame speech. You're trying to capture not only the moment of what's happening and what we need to do to prepare for this game and go out and execute this game, but you're also trying to capture the pulse of the team. And that's something, Coach, I'm learning that even watching all the great speakers over the years in coaching, is that it's something you really can't teach. It comes from within. And I think that's the key to giving a great pregame speech.
Let me ask you this, Coach. I mean, and you've dealt with, different levels. You've coached at different levels. Are you finding that the intensity, is there a difference in the intensity level when you're dealing with, let's say, the younger players, the high school players, college players? Do you see a difference in the intensity once your speech is given with the male players and the female players?
I have to say, Coach, I do. I have to be candid and answer that honestly in the manner in which you have to keep it real, Coach. And I do see the difference in intensity. And I think the reason I think it is because women don't have an in-depth background of football.
We've said that before.
Right. I don't think, of course they don't, it's a few girls to play in Pop Warner, very few, but right. it is some, but I don't think the multitude of women play at that age, and I think that's the problem. It's not embedded in them over the years. So when something is embedded in you from the age of 6 and 7 and you reach high school and college level, I mean, it becomes a passion. And even though these women are passionate about playing football, they don't have that deep passion because they haven't been playing over the years like the male counterparts. So for that, I think you see the difference in intensity in that pregame speech of emotion.
Now, do you see that when, let's say, you look at your first-year player and maybe your third-year player? Because, we, you know, some of these leagues, some of the teams, players that we have come from other teams, and they've played for a considerable amount of time. And do you see a difference in, you know, that first-year player and that third-year player and how they receive your speech and how they and what they draw out of it?
I definitely feel a difference because, again, like I said, it's about exposure. That first-year player, and typically in women's football, they have never, ever, ever played the game before.
Mm-hmm.
So they have never made a tackle. They have never ran the ball. They have never caught the ball. They have never thrown the ball. So they don't know what it is to be inside that pressure cooker and what to expect. So they take it for, I guess, the non-emotion that you see comes from just not knowing. And they don't know how to react. They don't know what to expect. So it's definitely a different in tenure over the years between veteran players and first-year rookie players.
So what I hear you saying, actually, though, no matter what the preparation, all the hitting during the course of the week, you know, nothing takes place until that, nothing takes the place of when that whistle blows.
Not a game-time situation. You know the difference, Coach. Game-time situation is just that. You cannot, I don't care how hard you practice, I don't care how much you inspire your team, how much you try to pick the tempo up in practice, you cannot duplicate game-time speed and the intensity of game-time pressure. It can't be duplicated. The only thing that can be done to get a feel for it is actually play in the game.
When you're giving your speech and you're looking around through the players and you notice, and you've been there before, you know, I mean, there was an old player with Jamie Foxx in one of the games every given Sunday. You know,
he
would throw up every first time he go in, and you know that wealth of emotion just coming out. When you see that kind of nervousness or apprehension in the player as you're giving your speech, and I know you because I watch you and you scan the eyes of the players. Do you then focus on that if you tend to see maybe, let's say you're just coming off a loss or maybe, you know, trying to get back on a winning schedule, get back on the winning ways and, you know, at a powerhouse team, maybe they've got a 4-0, 5-0 streak or what have you, or coming off undefeated past couple of games and you look through your players and you see some apprehension there. Does your speech change during the course of that or you stay on course with the message that you're delivering?
Your speech slightly deviates, Coach, and you have to simply because that's what I mean by the heartfeltness of how you give a speech. And one thing I'm learning, when you give a pregame speech, you have to allot for the miscellaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the things that I learned about a great speaker, because you have to sometimes go off of impulse, like you said, what you're seeing in the room. The nervousness, the emotion, and you might have to touch on that to give that player a little comfort that you understand and make that connection where they're coming from.
And I guess it doesn't really hit home until they get out there and they hit that first hit.
Yeah, it definitely hits home after that first hit, Coach. Nothing
that
substitute that first hit for the first game jitters.
If I would ask you you look back in your past and you would compare it, you know, because we play, you know, two halves. In the game of football. If you would look back over the years, would you say that your opening speeches delivered a 80% winning combination, or would you say it's 50-50, or people ain't listen to you and they lose? I mean, do you see transitions over into the plane of the first half, where you come out on top and you got a good lead. Over the years, do you look at that and say that is the most key important? That is the key time that makes you a success, or it's the work prior to that?
I think it's the preparation, Coach. It's definitely everything is in the preparation when it comes to football. But preparation is brought together by that glue, and I think that glue is that pregame speech to bring it all together, to home it in, and to get out there before the opening and whistle. And I think that's how it kind of coincides with one another.
First half's done. Drop to your knees. say a prayer, make sure everybody comes out alive. Start off with a good start, go out first half. Good or bad, got to come back in halftime. What are you preparing? What are you thinking about? Let's say you're up, Coach. You're up, and you get back in the locker room. Now, you've got a multitude of things going on, anywhere from injuries to plays that don't work to adjustments, and you got to do all this in less than 10 minutes because you got to be back out in the field, usually about 12 minutes, 15 minutes, half or quarter half. And you got to do all these adjustments. And, you know, players got to tend to the injuries. There's a lot going on because the players, a lot of times, you know, especially for women, I'm not saying, let me rephrase that, not especially for women, but, you know, they're dealing with aches and pains that they're not used to. You know, as the male players, they, you know, live with it. You know, it's pain, you know, and then there's injuries. There's two different things. So when they're coming in and they're trying to take care of these things, now you got to give this halftime adjustment speech. What's going through your mind? Let's say you're up. Let's take a look at both ends from when you're up and when you're down. What are you actually thinking?
Well, like you said, Coach, it's depending on the situation. If I'm up going into halftime, it's according to how much I'm up by. If I'm up with a sizable lead, then your speech is tailored around complacency. Making sure the team continue to do the things that they were doing the first half, make sure they stay in tune with the game plan, and make sure that we have no letdowns. And execution becomes the focal point. If I go into halftime and we're up by 6 or 7 points or less, then we tell a speech called we're actually losing the game and we need to do more to win. Simply because if you're only up by 7 points, Coach, you know in football like I do, you're one fumble away from losing.
That's correct.
And you got to create that sense of urgency for your team going in at halftime that you're actually losing the game and you need to play like you're losing the game and that we need to come from behind and go up, even though technically we're still winning because you have to create that sense of urgency. And if we go in losing, actually losing, then it's about the adjustments at halftime. It's about making sure the team is on the page, the coaching staff is doing the job that they need to do. We have come together for the best adjustments at halftime to attack the team going into the second half. And more importantly than that, make sure we relay the adjustments to the players where they understand the adjustments in a short period of time and to go back out and execute.
Well, you know, coaches, when they come back in, like we talked about, these players are healing. We were talking about the winning aspect of it. But there's a transition going on with the players as well. You know, during the course of battle, you know, injuries, bumps, bruises, may not necessarily been paid attention to. But now they're in the locker room. The body's slowing down. The adrenaline's slowing down. Swelling, their pain is increasing. When that starts to happen, whether you're up or down, and you have to admit it does play a factor. So if you had your choice, would you lessen the halftime, or would you rather play it continuous play? Because like I said, the injuries are starting to be focused on. You know, the swelling, everything starts to tie up. The hamstrings start to feel a little tighter. You start to feeling more tired. All that big adrenaline rush through that first two quarters has now dissipated, and the body's starting to rest. And things are starting to tighten up, and the pain starts to increase, headaches and all these other kinds of things. And you're trying to make adjustments, trying to get things done, trying to, get players to focus on what at hand, what needs to be done, and they're dealing with this physically in their body. Is it at that time, do you give another halftime speech at that time as well, or do you just, lack of a better term, tell them to get over it and let's go?
Well, for me personally, Coach, I try not to give too much of a halftime speech because halftime, to me, is geared towards getting back out there for the second half. It's about telling them what they need to know, when they need to know, so we can get back out there in a short period of time. Far as the bumps and bruises and injuries and things setting in at halftime, unfortunately, that's a part of the game. and what you do when you have a great training staff like we do at Baltimore. I think Janae does an excellent job of getting the women back out prepared to play the second half, and most of them respond in a very positive way. And I think that's what it's about. It's about a combination of coming together with the players, the training staff, and the coaches to get the job done in the second half.
And I can agree to that. I mean, usually when there's injury occurs on during the course of the game, the trainers, not only just for the Nighthawks, with Janae, but I've seen that with the trainers around the league, and hats off for the league recognizing and making sure that each team has trainers on board to address these injuries. And I have to say they do an excellent job, and they, I guess, more or less can minimize those issues when they do come in the locker room. And then they can focus on what's being said, can be look at with the adjustments. And quite frankly, I've seen this in our locker room as well, because she does a great job. You know, we've got, 20-some-odd, 30-some-odd players sitting there looking at us, you know, waiting for what's the next move. So my hat is off to Janae as well. Are there other things that you are considering coaching during the halftime during the course of the game or prior to during the halftime period?
Well, like I said, the injury report is real crucial during the halftime. The tightness of muscles and the concern, excuse me, coach, of cramping, spasms, and all of that. As far as getting the players water, Gatorade, fruit to eat, such as bananas to get potassium back in their body, and different things. And there's some of the key things that I'm looking for at halftime, coach.
Well, of course, halftime is over, and they go out for the second half of the game, and they go out, and they got the bruises taken care of. They're either up or down, and now they go out and play the second half, and they've got another sense of energy and ready to go. Unfortunately, the game's over, coach. Now they're back in. You just lost the game. What are you thinking, and how do you address that?
Well, again, you tailor-make the speech according to the situation, coach. Unfortunately, when we lost to Pittsburgh early in the year by a significant amount of points, what you don't want to do, you don't want to talk too much about the negativity during the game. I think you focus on the key points of the good things that the team did, and you try to build on that. So I try to stay away from the negativity if we lost by a sizable amount of points, and to focus on all the good things that we did well to make sure the injuries is reported like it's supposed to be. And more importantly, since the morale is low, what I try to do is smile and give them something to look forward to at the end of the speech.
Is that like a bottle of liquor, coach?
That's probably for me, coach, after the speech. But while I'm doing the speech, just look at something to get a chuckle out of them and
Do you give them a hug, coach?
No, actually, they give me one, coach, because I usually need it right after a game. We lost by a significant amount of points.
And that's what you meant, as you mentioned, coach. You look at you try to find a silver lining in everything, whether it be a win or a loss. And, and I've seen you do that. We can't, belabor the point because we got to prepare for another opponent in 2 days. And, we've got to get people into the mindset of forgetting the loss and forgetting the win and move on, because it's a fairly decent season, 8-10 games, and if you get into the playoffs, it's even longer. And you got to get players into the mindset of not to hold on to things, to be able to move on. And that's a lot of stuff that we generally have to discuss. We do discuss with them to get them out of that mindset. The loss is over. We watch film the following day, look at mistakes, and then we move on. For some players who aren't used to that, because for a while we had to get them, dealing with one player at a time and, trying to hone in one player at a time. And I think that's hard for I've noticed for some players to be able to let that go, but then you see it in the very next play how they respond, and it's affecting them, and that's difficult for them to grasp that concept. And I know after the game when we were in the locker room, we were talking with some of these players, good or bad. You know, we try to keep an even keel on the losses and try to keep an even keel on the wins because, you know, quite frankly, there's another game to play. When you're dealing with wins or losses, coaches, and we may not have gotten this to this area yet, but we've had the media approach us on a couple of occasions. How do you deal with the media after the game, whether it be a win or loss? I mean, I know you want to be correct in your responses, but you also want to be truthful, and you want to, because I know you're a very honest person. You like to, you know, lay things out, you know, for the fan base to let them know, you know, what actually you saw during the course of the game, and they will be able to translate, you know, some of the decisions that you made during the game. You know, because often sometimes there's some things that you do that, you know, sometimes the fans are wondering why you're doing it, and of course the news media will come up and ask you those kind of questions. And, you know, do you think that the media should interview right after the game, or should there be some time cooling down period, or how do you deal with the media in general?
Well, Brooks, that's a very interesting question, and all I can say is, I'm not one to really put a time cap on things. I mean, if they want to interview you after the game, wait a 20 minutes after the game, an hour after the game, I really don't know who can say that's right or wrong. You deal with it as it comes, and any exposure is good exposure. That's one thing you learn in media class, Coach. As long as you're being exposed, whether it's good, bad, or negative, it's exposure, and it helps your sport tremendously. But one thing that I try to do when I'm doing an interview is, one, is stay humble always. Not only stay humble, what I also try to do, I try to, like you said, answer the question as honest as I possibly can. And more importantly than that is why I'm talking about the opponent, whether it's on a win or a loss, I try to respect the opponents that we play because, you can't be overjoyous when you win and you can't be sunk down in the depths when you lose. Like you said, it's very important to keep an even keel in both aspects. So we give credit where credit is due. And we make sure that opponents know that we respect them in the most utmost way in playing the sport.
Coach, when you know, as you've seen interviews, constant interviews, and of course, you know, we're not quite at that level yet. But I know some coaches have given free after game speeches threatening individuals' jobs and, you know, things of that nature, and even you know, call them out in the media. And do you think that's suitable, or is that just coaches reacting off emotion when they make those kind of comments about the players? Or because just kind of tailing away from that, you know, a lot of times you've seen on films where they interview the loser, and you know most players got their head down, and you can barely make out what they're saying. They're mumbling more or less, you know the mistakes that they made, or but you can just see that there's such an emotional drain. That, you know, the demeanor of, you know, highs and lows of winning and losing, you know, really takes a toll on the player.
That's an excellent question, Coach. And how I'm going to answer that is quite frankly, is this. How you answer that is it does take a effect on players and coaches. But one thing that you try not to do, is I've learned as a child, is never speak out of emotion and anger. Because most of the time it's just that, it's emotion, Coach.
Right.
And it's not a well-thought process, and it's not going to be a very meticulous answer that you should give. It's going to be a very emotional answer that 9 times out of 10 that you shouldn't give. When you answer the media, you should try to be as honest as possible. But at the same time, you should, like I always say, you just should be humble, Coach, in your responses. But coaches that do that, I don't do it, because I'm a firm believer is you keep your in-house laundry in the house, Coach. You don't air your laundry in front of the public, or you don't air it in front of the media. If it's something that needs to come out in due time, it will come out in due time, and that's when the media will get a hold to it. But you never belittle a coach or player in front of the media on an outburst as far as emotion. That's just what I believe in. And you deal with it at the appropriate time. And to me, the appropriate time is when you let your emotions subside a little bit and you can learn to think a little more clearly and make a very decisive answer.
Well, one thing for sure, Coach, you know, those three sections that we talked about football, the pregame, the during and after, it's quite evident that it's an emotional, very emotional game. A lot of things happen, the ups and downs. You know, the body's talking at the same time as the coach is talking. There's a number of things, and that's why I guess this game is one of the greatest games out there. You got to be able to play within yourself, play with emotion, how to deal with adversity. But it also teaches you things about life and the players that you play with because, you know, we talked about the players and how they deal with the pregame, the various rituals that they go through, you know, and all the things they do to prepare for the game. But one thing's for sure, through all of that, during the kickoff, at the start of the whistle, they come out and play as a team. But there's no question about the emotions of the game and how, even though people come from all different walks of life, when the whistle blows, good or bad, they come out as a team. And at the end, Coach, no matter whether they won or whether they lost, there's always next week.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct,
and,
Coach.
And the saying as always is, with the NFL, you're only as good as your last game.
And that's the truth, Coach. On any given Sunday, anybody can be beat. And in our case, on any given Saturday, anybody can be beat.
That's very true.
So you have to play from week to week, Coach. And I'll encourage our listeners out there, if they want to join in on the conversation about this week's topic and the locker room, what happens before, during, and after the game, you can give us a call at area code 347-826-7278. We encourage you to call in and speak with the host, myself, Coach Epps, and along with the co-host, Coach Coop, or just you can get us on chat room talk and ask a question, and we'll see if we can answer it in a timely fashion, Coach. And this is the segment where we're going into the actual sponsorship.
No question, Coach. It's that time, and I tell you, after a nice win, I was really happy to have a cup of coffee down at Peace and a couple of Joe coffee. Peace and a cup of Joe.
Was it that good, Coach?
It was that good. I had the octane. I put a little something in it too. I ain't tell you that, but I was able to stay past midnight down at Peace and a cup of Joe, 713 West Pratt Street, and I just more than relaxed. I talked about the game, Coach.
Uh-huh.
I was down there hooping it up,
and
I had a great time down there. Peace and a cup of Joe. But you know what else, Coach?
Yeah.
I was down there. And I was looking good in my Nighthawks gear, sponsored, you know, because I had from Beanieware come out, you know, and I had some nice, you know, digs on. You never heard that term, have you, Coach?
No, Coach, you're a little older than me. And
that's
me.
A new term, man. Come on. I'm trying to get a new word out into the media here.
Okay.
I had my digs on, you know, from Beanieware and White Marsh, and I was looking good, Coach. But, hey, got a challenge for you, Coach. It's time to get on down to Velocity Sports Performance. So we can get our work on and be prepared for these last three games down at 1427 Clarkville Road so we can get our train on. Just stop down there, and if you mention you heard this on Nighthawks Radio, and, you know, they'll probably have some great deals for you and get your workout, summers up, bikinis out, shorts out, six-packs out, 12-packs, kegs. That's you, Coach. But don't worry about it. Anyway, stop on down, get your performance on, and get yourself ready for the summer. And as always, you want some more coffee? You can go get it by the cup and by the pound, but you get whole coffee beans at Zeke's Coffee. That's right, Zeke's. You can get Zeke's Coffee by the cup or the pound at Waverly Shopping Center, Waverly Food Market, Eddie's Market, down in Charles Village. And as always, if you want to sponsor a player or a team, and we still can do that, we've got some great packages, the Nighthawks, you can go to tbryan73@gmail.com. for some great Nighthawks season packages, great prices on the games. And we'll be in D.C. this week, so you still can get tickets. You can go to brownpapertickets.com or go to www.thebaltimorenighthawks.com for more information.
Excellent, Coach. And as always, we appreciate all our sponsors out there for sponsoring Blog Talk Radio, Nighthawks Radio. We own the night, and we do, Coach. We own the night this week, particularly because we have a victory over top of the Jersey Justice, and I'm particularly happy all week long. It's a good mood this week, Coach. You know how it is when you win, you're in a good mood. And when you lose, we just say we're in the mood.
That's right, Coach. It's like having that great set of crabs that we have here that we're known for in Maryland. Got that Old Bay over top of them. You break that leg off, and you put that big clump of meat in your mouth, and you pull it off. That's what I let's end the show, Coach, 'cause I'm getting hungry.
Well, we can't end the show quite yet, Coach. We at the segment of the show where we talk about current sporting events, Coach. And guess what the topic is before we get into the current sporting events? We're going to take a walk around the lead of the IWFL Women's Football League. Coach,
and
take it away.
Here we go. Week 6, Coach, some great scores around the league. We had the Vixen over the Crutch with a 30-20 score. And we had the Militia that, phew, they whipped the Firebirds. Beep. Anyway, 60-0 with the Boston Militia. And we had the Tribe beat the Fox 48-6. And those Diamonds, those Dallas Diamonds, phew, 64-0 over the Field. Those guys down there are really rolling. And you had the Divas over those New York Sharks, I tell you, even when we was in New York, the Sharks really had a great fan base. And they also had some great cheerleaders that came out. It was, you know, they put on a show up there. You got to give them, you know, big city, big apple, they did it. But they lost to D.C. 21-7. And then you had the Demolition. Hey, Demolition, when we had them, we should have kept them here in Baltimore because they jump-started their winning season, their winning ways, and they were able to go 21-19 over a hard-fought game over the Force. Then we had the Freedom over the Rebels, 13-8. And we had the Blitz over the Illusion with a 2-0 score. The Intensity, 53-0 over the Hurricanes. Woo! Hey, here's another close one. The Majestics over the Sirens, 21-20 in the Thriller. And we had another, those Amazons. Boy, I tell you, them Amazons, they're just rolling along. 50-0 over the Menace. And the Passion got back on the winning ways after a loss over to D.C. They won. Oh, hey, 41-0 over the Nemesis. Hey, they were home, Coach. Anyway, 33-0, a Shockwave over the Pride. No, I'm just taking a hat off. The Passion's a great organization. 33-0 over the Pride. And the Locomotion, 60-0 over the Thunder. Also there we had the Fury, 27-6 over the Mayhem. The Breakers over the Monsoons, 32-6. The Tigers over the Nightmare, 53-0. And the Explosion over the Punisher, 77-7. And as we mentioned earlier, the Baltimore Nighthawks, 32-6 over the Jersey Justice. Some big scores around the league, some close scores. And that's what's so great, that makes this league so great, Coach. You can come and see some great football. You can see some tight games. And you can better believe that these women are playing their hearts out with these kind of scores and with some of these tight scores. And, you got to go out and see the game. Go to the game, your nearest neighborhood. Go to the website, find your team, and go out and support Nighthawk. Go out and support Nighthawk football, but also go out and support the teams around the league. You're going to see some great football at a great price. And as always, you know, when you're here in our hometown, you know, we put that out there. You want to come see us, a family of four, Coach and I will both put 2 tickets up each. If you just mentioned that you heard. You know, heard us here on Nighthawks Radio, and their tickets will be waiting for you. So you can come out and bring a family of four and enjoy a great evening.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. You're absolutely correct. And this is what we love about the IWFL League. It's a spectacular league, and we're having a good time coaching in this league, Coach. So let's spin us around the league in the world of sports today.
Well, let's see. I know one thing.
Come on, what's the hot topic for
the week? I know the hot topic was last night, was the game last night. Did you see it last night? We talk about basketball. I had to talk about basketball, get away from football a little bit. But you had LeBron and crew with Orlando in a hell of a game the other night. Fortunately for them, they had a 16-point lead at halftime and got whittled away there at the end, and they lost it, I believe, by 1 point.
Yes, they did, Coach. Yes, they did. LeBron, actually, that's their first playoff loss of the year, Coach.
Right. I believe they actually had a winning record like 39-2, one of the second best in the league for home stands. And I tell you, I sat there and watched that. I was waiting for LeBron to miss. I mean, he was, you know, that first half seemed like everything he put up, you know, it went down. It was just unbelievable.
Absolutely correct there, Coach. But guess what happened today?
What happened, Coach?
What is the hot topic around the league, the world of sports today? The hot topic around the world of sports today is
what, the three, the back, the back, the back home runs by the Yankees against the Orioles? Because that, to me, that was an embarrassing moment, but exciting for sports fans, baseball fans around the league to see that kind of long ball stuff taking place. I thought maybe you were talking about the Yankees.
No, Mike Vick came home today, Coach.
He came home.
Mike Vick was released from the federal prison today.
Vick is out.
And Vick is out. He's in Hampton, Virginia.
Vick is out.
And they showed him pulling up to his house. As we speak, Coach, it happened today, and it was a very exciting day for the Mike Vick fans.
Hold on, Coach, because I got to make a call. He owed me $20 on that last dog fight.
You're real funny.
I couldn't get it while he was in. I had to wait till he got it put away.
Yeah.
I had $20 on that one dog. That dog was a mangy little thing. But anyway, you know, I can't say that on the air. I might get in trouble, Coach.
Well, Mike Vick, like I said, he's home, Coach. He's going to do the next 2 months in home detention, and he's going to be released July the 20th, I believe, and trying to get reinstated in the league. And they had a whole host of people around the league comment on the release of Mike Vick, and it seemed like the general consensus in the NFL is that they hope Mike Vick is showing remorse for what he's done, and that they really do want to give him a second chance and come back in the league.
Hey, Coach, guess what? Guess what? What does Michael Vick and a dog have in common?
I'm not sure I want to know, Coach.
They both going to be wearing collars. I just thought that was enough. I didn't like that, didn't you, Coach?
No, Coach.
How ironic.
Once again, only you, Coach. All I can say is you got to stop eating all those bazooka bubble gum.
Well, yeah, Roger Goodell said that he had to show some kind of remorse before he would come back. And quite frankly, Roger pointed out all the questions that he was going to ask Vic in the media. If I was Michael Vick, I'd be sitting there writing notes. I'd be writing essays, you know, finding the appropriate response. Because he just got the question. It was like a test where somebody said, you might want to write this down.
Yeah, you ain't lying there, Coach.
So if he goes to the interview with the commissioner and he fails that interview because he didn't have the appropriate question, he need to go back to jail, Coach.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, but I hope to see that Mike Vick and his family do well, and I hope to see him back in the NFL soon. And the other hot topic around the league, Coach, is Brett Favre.
Oh,
is it a hot topic? Because it seems like we talk about this every year, Coach.
Well, you know my feelings of Brett. We talked about this before. The man has a lot of talent. You know, same with Vick. I think Vick has more talent. You know, Vick, there's a question whether Vick can come back as a, you know, quarterback, but, you know, he can come back a receiver, as a corner. A number of plays because he's a true athlete. Brett Favre, you know, I think he's proven, you know, in my personal feelings, I think he's done a lot for the league. But I think with him, it's not about the money, Coach. I think he just loves to play the game. And you got to take your hat off with that. I mean, if you can still wing it down the field, you know, still make the calls, you know, why not play? You know, if we had the opportunity, we would still be playing.
You're absolutely right, Coach, but just like in the old Kenny Rogers movie, you got to know when to hold, Coach. And basically, after that 8-game slide last year, and they contributed to his torn bicep, Coach, but quite frankly, he's 40 years old, Coach. And, yeah, he can still sling it down the field, but his skill level is diminishing, and if he wants to hold on to his prestige reputation, I would fold him up, Coach.
Well, you know what it also does for Minnesota, if he's looking to go there, Coach. I mean, you have the young quarterback there, and even though the Vikings fan base has always been a very strong fan base, you know, the owners are looking at it as a dollar thing as well. I mean, here, you know, it's almost like a player going around making his final tour, you know, his farewell around the league just by going to different teams. But I think the owners will be looking at that as well. It would be the same thing if we got – let's say, because Lisa Lisa Horton is hurt up in Pittsburgh. You know, she's got a bad leg, but she's got a great reputation around the league. And, you know, she could still wing it, and, you know, we had an opportunity. We would bring her here. We probably would consider bringing her here to play football because, you know, she's a very talented person. You know, she's a fiery person, and she loves the game because she plays with pain, she plays with injury, and you got to take your hat off on you. You got players that, you know, want to do that, and on the opposite side of that, you got players that, you know, they scratch their finger, and then, you know, they want to be out for 2-3 weeks. So when you come across a player that really loves the game, you know, and will fight through injuries and, you know, adversity, you know, you want that because that also is a building block, you know, for your new players. I mean, that's, you know, your new players see that and they can aspire to be that themselves.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And other news around the league, Coach, you're talking about Brett Favre possibly coming back to the Minnesota Vikings and that is going to be a quarterback controversy up there in Minnesota if that happens. But I have a question for you, Coach. I mean, Marvin Harrison, I mean, I haven't seen that he was picked up yet, Coach.
Money, Coach, it's money. It's money. That's all it is.
But Marvin Harrison is a Pro Bowl Hall of Fame receiver, Coach, and I'm quite sure somebody in the NFL can use this type of talent.
Well, no question they can use it, Coach, but, you know, a lot of this with the salary cap, you know, and he's going to come with a big ticket. He's going to have to, you know, knock down his asking price if he wants to still play this game. And I agree with you. He's a great receiver, but sometimes receivers can be a dime a dozen, I mean, especially when you're dealing with coming along with a high ticket price. I mean, sometimes you can, you know, be so good you end up sitting on the sidelines for the rest of your career.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And best of luck to Marvin Harrison and getting with our team because I'm quite sure he's going to land somewhere because he's one heck of a receiver, Coach.
No question. And also, Coach, I know you just breaking in here for a second. You know, we have that relationship with USA Football, and they are sponsoring a camp this year. I think it's in about a couple of weeks. But you can go to you can go to IWFLsports.com and look up USA Coaching, and you'll see that they have an upcoming clinic for those aspiring female players or coaches that want to pick up some tips to help themselves with youth football and high school football. It's a great program. It's a great partnership that we have with USA Football, and they have various dates around the league. So I would encourage those who are listening, if they're interested in coaching or, you know, doing things, going out and finding some new techniques for their players, to look into that, to take advantage of that. You know, usually their fees are very nominal, and they have some great gifts to go along with that. Most of them held on a Saturday, and, you know, you can take your camera out there and videotape some things, talk with coaches, and enhance your game. Coaching is one of the very few experiences, relationships where you can go with a sharing discipline. Coaches don't have a problem with sharing, you know, their techniques, their plays, their philosophies, and that's one great thing about that. And it's always a challenge when you're a student and you're playing against your master on the other side of the field and see what you've learned. So it's a plus. And if you get an opportunity, like I said, go to USA Football, go to IWFLsports.com, and look up USA Football and look at the various coaching schools around the league.
That's an excellent point, Coach. Some other interesting news for the day, and this is dear to my heart. The Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the White House, Coach. What you think about that?
No, I'm sorry, Coach. What'd you say?
Yeah, okay, right. Like I said, the Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers is visiting President Barack Obama in the White House.
Hey, congratulations to the Steelers. I'll say it again. Congratulations to the Steelers. Yeah, I know that's your team, but even more, it's, you know, it's a great, you know, great honor for them to be recognized at the White House with President Obama, and I'm sure it's a great time, and they've accomplished something that no ever NFL team has done to date. And my hat goes off them. and we're going to stop talking about them because they've been to the White House, Coach, and we don't need to go talk about them anymore until next year.
Yeah, they just went to the White House today, Coach, and I think it was a particular honor because Mike Tomlin, the head football coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, is the second African-American to win the Super Bowl, and he's greeted by the first African-American in the White House, and I think that was a particular honor there, and it's kind of a historic moment, don't you think?
No question about it, Coach. Hats off to both of them, especially to Coach Tomlinson for a young coach with the franchise. He's done great things. And, you know, it had to be a truly honor for him. I'm sure it was a great photogenic opportunity for the press and for his family and teammates as well.
You're absolutely correct. It was a good day at the White House, Coach. I'm quite sure all the Steelers was excited. But a matter of fact, though, it is a bit of controversy about that because the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Harrison, didn't elect to come. He turned down the invitation. Did you know that?
Mm-mm. That ain't so.
Yeah, it's so, Coach. It's so.
Why was that, Coach? I missed that.
He said that he said quite frankly, and what they quoted him as saying is that actually in 2005, he didn't go to the White House either when to visit President Bush. He said that he doesn't agree with that because if they would have lost, then they'd have invited the other team. So if they were going to invite the other team and they only invited them because they won, he said he's not going to let them go at all. Don't try to understand the logic of that, Coach. I'm just telling you what the man said.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Well, I don't have anything to say about that, Coach. That just sounds like it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the NFL, and that's the man's belief, Coach. I mean, you can't trample on a man's belief.
No.
That's what he believes. I mean, you know.
Can't trample on belief, but I've been thinking he's been struck in the helmet too many times, Coach.
Hey, as long as he keep playing like he does, Coach, he can keep turning down the White House. This is his second Super Bowl in 4 years, and I'm quite proud of Harrison.
That's unbelievable. You know, I'm sure probably if he had, you know, family members, they would have loved to, you know, had that opportunity to go to the White House. And fortunately, he made the decision that he did. I think he's going to regret it in the long run because it's not every day you get to meet the President of the United States.
That's a fact, Coach. I mean, it's a very prestigious honor to meet the President of the United States of America. Quite frankly, I don't know if he can allow it, but the first thing I would ask President Obama, if I was able to meet President Obama, is could I please sit on Air Force One? I mean, I just would like to sit on Air Force One. I mean, everybody talks about it, Coach. I mean, I would just like to see it.
Well, you can see it, Coach. Just watch the History Channel or Discovery, and that's about as close as you're going to get to it.
You're about right about that, Coach.
Hey, Coach, did you know, and I think we kind of missed this, and it's a little foo-paw on our part, but just a little shout-out to the Pittsburgh Passion. You know, they were recognized for a 2009 Billy Award for their documentary on the team. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't, Coach.
Yes, sir. They got the Billy Award honor for the extraordinary contribution to media coverage and its insightful portrayal of women and girl in sports. How about that?
Wow. Congratulations and big ups, big up, big up to the Pittsburgh Passion.
There you go, there you go. As always, there's a lot of great things going on around the league, and I would hope that all the teams would, you know, supply information to IWFL Sports. There's a lot of great things going on in all these different venues and different cities that these players are participating in, and I would just hope they would get their information out, send it out to the league, so we can talk about what's going on around the league and shout out their accomplishments as well.
You're absolutely right, Coach. Like I said, once again, we're coming to a wrap here this week, Coach, and as always, we're going to say and take the time and say thank you for all our sponsors for sponsoring Nighthawks Radio. We own the night.
Going to D.C., Coach.
Thank you for Blog Talk Radio once again for the gracious a venue to be able to express ourselves once again there on Thursday night.
Going to D.C., Coach.
And I also want to thank you, Coach Coop. You're very informal. and insightful as usual. And you did a great job again tonight, and it's a pleasure working with you.
Did I get a raise, Coach?
No, Coach. And and once again, thank you for all the listeners out there and people on the chat line writing questions in. And even though we didn't have a caller tonight, I know somebody wanted to call, Coach, and that's all that counted. And for those out there in radio land, we just like to close with our regular slogan, Coach. You know, there's no good opinions. There's no bad opinions. It's just simply
your opinion.
Good night.